This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
It is 4 o'clock, and I will call to order this meeting of the School Finance Accountability Board. We will begin with doing a roll call vote of the members of the board, and then we will try to have those who are helping us through the department to identify themselves so that if we do have people in the public meeting, they are aware of who is participating. So I'm Terry Nebelsack. I serve as the president, and I would start with our vice president and then the other three to please identify themselves.
Hi, I'm Susan Profrock, vice president.
I'm Eric Stroder. I am school board member up here in Mulbridge.
Abby Vinardi-Mortar, board member, superintendent Inda Smith.
Liza Clark, and I am with the governor's budget office.
Thank you to the board. I neglected to state that I was the superintendent in Huron. I would now ask the Secretary of Education and then the entire department to identify themselves for the sake of any audience.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tiffany Sanderson, Secretary of Education.
Cody Stowe, sir, Director of Finance Management for Education.
Susan Woodmansey, Office of State Aid and School Finance.
Bobby Leiferman, Office of State Aid and School Finance.
Olivia Wagner, Office of Contracts, Budget, and Technology.
Lindsay Bomsberger, Secretary for DFM.
Thank you for that. The next thing that we have on the agenda is to agree to adopt the agenda. It was posted along the lines of our codified laws and our statutes in plenty of time. And for those who might be listening in, you can simply go to any website for School Finance Accountability Board, and we're one of the only ones in America, and it will show up there almost immediately. I am seeking approval of the agenda for today's meeting.
Clark moves.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this meeting on February 17th, 2021. Myself, aye.
Profrock, aye.
Stroder, aye.
Ben Rigenmorter, aye.
Clark, aye.
The record show that it is unanimous. The next thing in front of us is the approval of the minutes from the November 17, 2020 meeting. Your chair has read the minutes and they appear to me to be in order. Is there anyone from the membership that has concerns over what the minutes reflect? Is there anyone from the department who has concerns over what the minutes reflect? I would seek a motion to approve the minutes of the November 17th meeting.
Schroeder will move.
Van Rigenmorter, second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the November 17th meeting. A pause for comment or question from either board members or the department staff. Hearing none, we'll roll call vote. And the easy votes I start with, yes. Profrock,
aye.
Schroeder, aye.
Van Rigenmorter, aye.
Clark, aye.
Passed unanimously. The purpose of the meeting today is the presentation of a waiver of excess cash accountability. This waiver is actually a continuation of our work from an earlier waiver, and it's all directed to the financial responses to the world we have been facing and courageously trying to overcome with services to children. And so I would ask for the department and our Secretary of Education to explain the presentation to the board and to the audience.
Thank you, Terry. Cody, I'm going to have you start off with information on the waiver request, and we can answer any questions that you might have.
All right, thank you. Thank you all for coming together on short notice again to address this very important issue that schools will face in the future. As you recall, back in September 2020, this board approved a resolution which allow the Department of Education to exclude the coronavirus relief funds, or CRF, from the calculations of the general fund cash balance requirement under South Dakota Cut Fund Law 13.13.10.1 for FY21. Over $70 million of the CRF funds were made in two payments, one in September based off 90% of their 2019 enrollment, and then in December to true it up with their 2020 fall enrollment. Most schools use October as their lowest monthly cash balance in calculating the general fund cash balance requirement. Receiving such a large payment at once would affect the amount that they would have used in the calculation and possibly not be able to meet that requirement. Now that brings us here today on in the Coronavirus Response Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act, which is they call CSER Act, was signed into law on December 27, 2020. This added additional funds to the GEAR and ESSER grants that the department received from the CARES Act. Just a little note on the allocation amounts for ESSER funds under the CARES Act. The state of South Dakota received $41,295,230 in ESSER funds. In GEAR funds, the state received $7,944,013. Under the CSER Act, an additional amount came to ESSER 2, which is, I call it ESSER 2, under the ESSER fund, of $170,099,465, of which $153 million approximately will go through to schools. We also received extra money in the GEAR fund of $3,503,286, which total is roughly that we will roughly we'll spend about over $190 million to schools through these two funds. With the unprecedented amount of funding provided to these schools, I am presenting a resolution to you today to waive the entire general cash balance requirement for FY22 and FY23, which uses the prior year data to determine if a school is compliant with the requirement. By waiving this requirement, schools would be able to plan more effectively for the use of these funds. They would also be able to submit timely reimbursement requests to DOE. Keep in mind, schools receive funds from multiple sources, not only from DOE. I ask for your favorable consideration of this resolution.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Stosser? Okay. Any other comments from the department?
Terry, if I could, this is Tiffany Sanderson. I think a couple of the points that Cody brought up are worth repeating or underscoring. One is we want to make sure that schools are investing these funds from the time they're available, which is shortly, all the way through the life cycle of the grant. And I think it's really important to closely manage those funds, and so that means routine reimbursement requests without consideration for when the money gets reimbursed to the school and in what month and what other revenues are coming in at that point. We want to make sure that schools are able to manage them well and think that that process will allow for more streamlined, close management of the funds, both for schools and for the Department of Ed staff. So appreciate you all considering this blanket waiver approach as you did last fall with the CRF funds. As Cody mentioned, these funds are available through September of 2023. That's actually in the fiscal year 24. And you'll notice on the waiver that we're asking today for the blanket waiver for fiscal years 22 and for 23. If at the end of fiscal year 23, there's a need to look beyond that for any additional waivers from the requirements for cash balances, we would certainly be open to a conversation, but think that most of the funding will be expended and distributed in those two fiscal years that are outlined in the waiver request.
Okay, thank you. Before the chair comments, is there any other questions for the department? Okay, again, I reserve the right to comment on this, but I don't want to upstage board members who study this. Any comments or concerns from any of the board members? Okay. I think that what makes this work very, very important is that I was a witness to concerns at the legislative level and whether there should be legislation put in place in order to protect school districts from the consequences of the accountability board, and I watched as legislators and school administrators collectively relaxed when it went through this process and it went through the board that they have worked with and recognized. So my compliments to all in the department for having the wisdom to put it together in this manner. And then the one thing that I would say, in case there are administrators new to the game who are learning as this goes along, that the extension, I support the extension and the waiver of consequences through this time period so that it can be utilized correctly as described. But all of us should remember that these are not ongoing funds, so that as you make your decisions, schools, I would seriously ask yourself, are there infrastructure things that can last the test of time, and or are there intercession things where we intervene with students and their needs that can be unique to this time? But I would caution all to just make sure that as you go through what has become very generous for some school districts, that you are aware of the difference between one-time and ongoing expenses. The second thing that I would say, so that if there are legislators who follow this work, I think it's important to state that a blanket thought that all school districts are getting a bundle of money would be terribly disserving those who do not have a high title population. With the poverty in a school district like Huron's, it involves a great deal of money that can be used for interventions, those types of things. But all schools are hurting during this COVID crisis, and those who do not have those qualifying factors are not seeing near the funding. So I just want legislators to hear from me that please don't use a blanket assumption that because of these aids that all school districts are in great shape, because it just... it really is connected to title qualifiers, and it's just important to me on behalf of districts that are not going to receive this kind of funding that the legislature is aware of those real needs. If I have said anything that is not in line with what you all have been studying, please correct me, because I don't want to misdirect anyone, but I did want to use the format to inform people who might be learning.
Terry, you're exactly right. There are some districts on a title basis that are receiving a tremendous amount of money on a per-student basis, and for others, in the second round of funding, the difference on a per-student basis ranges from $48 per student up to $15,000 per student.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone with anything else before I seek a motion to approve this resolution?
Terry, I agree with all you say, it's only wise to give people the time to spend the money. It doesn't lead to good spending when you have to have deadline to spend money. It'll lead to a better value, I think, by giving this. So, I agree with all that's been said.
Thank you, Eric. Anything else?
I just wanted to say I appreciate the time the department put into this resolution, and I know it does relieve, it is a relief for us. So I really appreciate that. And thanks, Terry, for your comments.
Everybody else comfortable? And I would ask for a motion to pass.
I'll make that motion to approve the resolution. For the excess cash accountability waiver through June 30th, 2023.
Thank you. Susan, I would seek a second.
Order will second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. The comments at this time are limited to the board members. Are there any other comments or questions by the board members? Hearing none. I would call for a roll call vote, and I will start with Ms. Van Regemorter.
Aye.
Thank you. And Ms. Clark? Mr. Stroder?
Aye.
Ms. Profock?
Aye.
And the chairman is aye as well. Let it be known that it was a unanimous resolution. At this point, in all meetings, as per statute, there is a time for public comment. And so I pause for public comment in case there is someone electronically joining us or someone present in one of the buildings that has something to say. Hearing none, I would ask the department and the board members if there's any other work to come before the board at this time that was not on the printed agenda.
When do we meet next? Is it in March?
That's a good question. I think the department is going to call us together following the legislative session in order to find out what tasks or if we have tasks for the coming year. Is that a correct assumption?
That is.
By the way, for the shortness of these meetings, I really like Zoom. it's a one feature that for meetings like this should outlast COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I would seek a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Van Riggenmorter.
And a second?
Stroder, a second.
Okay. I can visually see all of you. A thumbs up, and I'll declare it unanimous. And it's declared unanimous. Okay. We are adjourned.